Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. It's a midday magazine for Thursday, the 25th of August, 2016. I'm Joe Vicnicki with the local news. The Alaska Mental Health Trust this week took its first step toward logging trust land on the mountainside south of Petersburg, along with Ketchikan's iconic Deer Mountain. During a Board of Trustees meeting yesterday morning, the board agreed with staff recommendations to move forward with plans to negotiate timber sales for both parcels by January 15th of next year, unless Congress approves a bill trading that land for selected U.S. Forest Service land. John Morrison is executive director of the Mental Health Trust. He says time is running out for the region's timber industry, and the trust needs to make money while it can.
We've reached the recognition that we need to be prepared to harvest the timber we have while there is a timber industry, to harvest it in the event that the legislation is not passed this session of Congress.
Morrison says the trust has been working on the land exchange, which includes other parcels in Southeast, with the Forest Service for about a decade. While he's optimistic that the land exchange will be approved, Morrison says this first step was necessary.
Our process can be fairly lengthy, and so this is to get the ball rolling and to let people know we are serious about abiding by our mission, which is to maximize revenue to the trust.
Revenue from trust lands is the sole funding source for mental health programs in the state of Alaska. Mental Health estimates that the sale in Petersburg would generate $3.1 million and create some local jobs. The trust has been looking into logging its land near Petersburg, which runs above Mitkoff Highway south from Scow Bay to Twin Creek since 2005. Homeowners and others here have opposed the logging plans, citing the threat of landslides. Trust Land Office staffers anticipate opposition to the sale in Petersburg, and they anticipate that will continue. A recommendation on the sale prepared by staffers says, quote, "However, the Trust Land Office has a sole loyalty obligation to the trust rather than the public interest at large," unquote. Morrison says the lands to be exchanged have been identified through a separate administrative process. That process took a step forward last year, but is expected to take years more. The legislation would speed up that exchange. However, Morrison says the bill just needs to get through Congress.
We would be very much in favor of the legislation passing and having a successful exchange, and people who are concerned can certainly direct their efforts towards helping to pass that legislation.
Ketchikan Gateway Borough Assembly recently approved a resolution that urged Congress to approve Senate Bill 3006, the Alaska Mental Health Land Exchange Act of 2016. A committee of Wrangell, Petersburg, and Cake residents has recommended 21 area projects and festivals for federal funding. As Abby Collins reports, nearby communities could soon see a range of projects, from trail and cabin improvements to festivals and amphibian monitoring.
The Resource Advisory Committee is comprised of 15 volunteers from Petersburg, Wrangell, and Cake, and together they determine which proposals should be funded. They're responsible for recommending how to spend Title II funding allocated through the Secure Rural Schools Act, a federal program for communities near national forests. Their recommendations are then sent to the forest supervisor for approval. Linda Slatt is the RAC coordinator. She says funding goes to projects that benefit resources on national forest land.
It can be something that directly relates to wildlife habitat, such as the amphibian monitoring. Quite a few of the proposals have to do with recreation developments, improvements to existing developments, and some festivals are included, and these are educational community-based festivals that provide information on natural resources of the Tongass.
At a meeting this month, the committee considered giving out just under $500,000. Just over $261,000 of that was allocated to Wrangell, about $134,000 to Petersburg, and about $78,000 to Cake. Those numbers could be adjusted in coming meetings. Slatt says Petersburg's portion of the funding was reduced in recent years when it became a borough.
This year was the first year that we saw the effects of the borough formation, and apparently Petersburg's per capita personal income is about 30% higher than Wrangell's. and that factors into the formula as a negative for the allocation.
In the past, Petersburg and Wrangell were part of the same census area and received similar amounts of funding. For Petersburg, the committee recommended funding for survey and design of a new cabin at Braylon Slough, along with the Cachetes Lake cabin deck and walkway on Kuprinoff Island. Other projects include maps for Petersburg Ranger District kiosks and firewood supply at the Kadake Bay cabin on QU Island. There are a variety of reasons projects might receive funding, but Slatt says the committee likes to see those that will also receive funding from other sources.
So it's not just the Title II funds funding the project. And so they tend to favor, what looks like a good investment, a good use of limited funds, and bringing partners into the project.
Three projects are shared between Petersburg and Wrangell, including Stikine Area Amphibian Monitoring, Blackery Point Boat Ramp Sign Installation on Southern Mitkoff Island, and improvements to the Chief Shakes Hot Springs on the Stikine River. Wrangell received recommendations for 9 projects and festivals, and Cake 4. Historically, Slatt says the majority of items recommended by the RAC have been adopted. The committee will meet again on September 10th, and they are currently looking for new members. In Petersburg, I'm Abby Collins.
Without any challenger for his seat this October, Petersburg Borough Mayor Mark Jensen will be continuing on in that role for another 3 years. The 60-year-old welder and commercial fisherman has been mayor of the borough since the startup of the new expanded municipality back in January of 2013. Before that, he served on the council for the city of Petersburg and filled in as city mayor when needed. He says it was not an easy decision to run for re-election this year.
Yeah, I thought about it for quite a while. 6 months ago, if you would have asked me, I probably would have said I wasn't going to run again. But just there's a lot of stuff going on I'd like to, be part of. It's going to, the budget situation, and there's a few projects I'd like to see completed and be mayor when they're done. So, and I enjoy it. It just takes a lot of time.
It's a busy time for the borough government with numerous projects underway, marijuana business under debate, and a multi-billion-dollar state budget crisis.
We're just going to have to take it one step at a time as the state develops their budget plans and see what we have to do to adjust to that. Hopefully we could keep doing business as usual. We've got a lot of projects going on in town right now, the bulkhead at the drive-down dock and the municipal building and the nice new roads that just got paved, but I don't think we're going to see that kind of activity in the near future because of the funding situation.
Jensen says he's talked with others about a run for state office and says that could still be a possibility in the future, but for now he says he's content serving as borough mayor for the next 3-year term. An Anchorage man opening a retail marijuana business has been appointed to the state's Marijuana Control Board. Governor Bill Walker yesterday announced that Nicholas Miller will serve on the board. He replaces Bruce Schulte, whom Walker removed from that board back on July 29th. Miller is chairman of the Anchorage Cannabis Business Association. The association is made up of people filing for state and local licensing of pot businesses. Miller's appointment runs through February of 2018. The Marijuana Control Board has the job of regulating Alaska's marijuana industry. A Juneau school bus carrying 2 students and 2 adults was struck by a bullet yesterday afternoon. The bullet shattered a bus window. No one was injured, and the suspected shooter told police he did not know the gun was loaded. Besides the driver, the bus carried 2 students and an adult aide shortly before 4 in the afternoon yesterday. Police say the shot was fired from a 9mm handgun through the front door of a home. The bullet lodged in the bus window frame. 2 men, including the 21-year-old who fired the gun, immediately ran out of the house toward the bus. Police say a recommended misdemeanor charge of shooting a firearm within a quarter mile of a roadway has been forwarded on to the city attorney's office. Today's new school marks the beginning of a new school year in Wrangell, and as KSTK's Aaron Bolton reports, the Wrangell School District is starting off the year absorbing over $50,000 in education cuts.
Governor Bill Walker made $48 million in cuts to education funding earlier this year, resulting in a $51,000 loss for the Wrangell School District. Superintendent Patrick Mayer says the school budgeted for the $33,000 cut to base student allocation, which funds $50 per student in the district. But the district did not expect an $18,000 cut to transportation funding. The cost of bus service has also increased by 26%. Mayer said the district will be able to absorb those cuts and increase costs this year, but it's the next year that's the concern.
Of course, myself, as the superintendent of Wrangell Public Schools, and other superintendents and other government entities are concerned about the upcoming year and how, budget cuts are going to impact our organizations.
National Education Association Alaska President Tim Parker visited Wrangell this week and shares Mayor's concerns.
Last year during the session, we calculated that you could close every school in the state and you wouldn't close the budget gap. And state funding in Alaska is a big part of how schools are funded. So that tells you where we are. We're in a deep hole. So we have been suggesting that the use of permanent fund earnings is something we should strongly consider as a state.
Parker began his two-year term as president in July and is touring school districts throughout the state. He says additional cuts to education could lead to larger classroom sizes, limiting teachers' ability to meet every student's need.
Seeing some of those cuts happen and then watching them inside of a district, what does that mean? How does the class size have to go up by 2 or 3 or 4? Those are the real concerns, I think, that individual community members have and teachers have, for sure.
Mayer wouldn't say what cuts could be made locally if the state legislature continues to reduce education funding. He says that salaries and benefits make up 80% of the district's budget. Fifth grade teacher Laura Davies has taught in Wrangell for 10 years and says talk of state cuts to education are nothing new.
When I got hired here, it was, I hope they have enough funding to keep me on as a teacher. And then the next few years, and then you kind of take a deep breath and, okay, I've taught here long enough. Someone else is now new, and they kind of go through that process.
For now, Wrangell's classroom numbers are dictated by enrollment. Superintendent Mayer says this year's numbers are similar to last year, around 275 students. The final tally will be in on the first day of school. Davies will have 17 students in her class this year.
But we have a couple classes in the elementary school that have 25, maybe even 26 students in their class. So my class is small this year, but in the next couple of years, I'll have larger classes.
She says if funding causes staffing strains in future years, Wrangell schools would be able to handle the load.
No, if my class size got larger, I would handle. And as would the rest of the staff here. This is our profession, so we can have bigger classes. But of course, any teacher would probably say smaller class sizes, the student's going to get one more one-on-one time. But it just means you have to be creative, doing group projects, and really having the students work together and collaborate. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. We make it work.
The district has added a Tlingit language and culture class for middle and high school students this year. Superintendent Mayer says that class may meet the foreign language requirement. The district is also offering Spanish for the first time. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Aaron Bolton.
And we told you earlier this week about federal funding cuts that are reducing tribal welfare programs in 7 Southeast Alaska communities. We have more details about the 4 affected programs. They're offered through the Juneau-based Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. Funding comes from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which announced a reduction on short notice. The council's William Martin, who oversees the programs, says about 230 low-income tribal members are being helped by one of the 4 programs this month. The council runs those programs in Craig, Klawock, Douglas, Saxman, Wrangell, Juneau, and Haines. They're run by local tribal governments and some other communities. One provides bus passes, child care assistance, and other resources to get clients into jobs.
It's designed to help them with things like interview clothing, if they don't have interview clothing, or if they need work clothing or specialty work gear. Like if they're going into construction, we would be able to assist them with the basic needs in construction or in carpentry.
Martin says another program funds vocational training, including 2-year degrees. The third helps those seeking 4-year degrees.
Unfortunately, because of these cuts, we cannot take any new clients. And some of the services that we were able to provide for our existing clients will be reduced as well.
A 4th program puts clients in temporary jobs where they're paid. Martin says it's all about gaining skills.
Work experience is designed to assist our clients who have little or no work experience or who want to try out a career that they think they're interested in but not sure about, so we can put them into a temporary position. It's designed to assist them in beefing up their resume so that they become more employable.
Martin says 5 temporary employees will be laid off at the end of this month. The council is continuing a program that provides cash for food, shelter, utilities, and clothing. An earlier report incorrectly stated such assistance would also be cut. For KFSK News, I'm Joe Vicnicki.